today we're going to be talking about purpose in marriage. So when you're looking for somebody to get married to, the main thing that we look for as Christians is somebody that's going to stand with us in our purpose. Amen. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And what he's saying is, when you have this passion for Jesus, then have somebody that's also passionate about Jesus. Okay? Because like Jared said, what are you going to talk about? Once you've talked about everything else, what is the burning thing and motivator for your life? And hopefully that is Jesus. Amen. And so we're going to talk about purpose. Purpose drives success in marriage. When you guys have the same purpose in life, and that is to serve Jesus, the same purpose to create a good life. You know, when God the Father created the heavens and the earth, he said to the man and the woman, go forth and multiply and have dominion. He was telling them to go and create a life. Life doesn't just happen, right? It will happen to you if you allow it to, but you have to create the life that you want. So you want to be with somebody that has vision, right? You don't want to be with somebody that doesn't have a vision for life. You don't want to have somebody that's just kind of like, que sera, sera, what will be. You want somebody that has a vision for their future. This is what I want it to be, look like. Do you want to come and create a life with me? And so you want to be with somebody that's creative, right? If they have this kind of spirit of depression on them, run. Because guess what? In marriage, that just amplifies. That just gets worse, right? So you want somebody that has an upbeat vision for life. They want to create a life together. Okay? Now, if you're married, you can't ditch the person that you have to go and get somebody that you think, oh, well, we're not really creating together. Well, you're part of that equation. And if you're already married, what Jesus says is love this person so much that you will go and find the creativity in them and pull it out. Your helpmate and your spouse is somebody that gets the creativity stirring up within you. So you as a husband speaks to the greatness in your wife and you stir up all the amazing gifts within her. I remember when I married Jared, he would get me to do crazy things. Like he had a TV show and he'd say, okay, you're going to be speaking on it. I'm like, I'm not speaking on the TV show. I'm going to go do the accounting because I'm a CPA. I'll do the accounting. I'll do the stuff. He's like, no, 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 you're doing this. And it would take me 5, 6, 7, 8 takes to get it right. And he would do it first shot. He's got it down, right? But he saw something in me that I didn't see. And he spoke it over me and he encouraged me, right? And as husbands, you can do the same for your wives because it takes vision to see greatness in somebody else. Proverbs 31 says that the fearful wife sees greatness in her husband and she praises him. Guys, do you like that? You like to be praised? I know when I speak to my husband and I just honor him for what he's doing, I can just see his chest kind of go. I can see his muscles flex. Right? He just walks differently. Because guess what? A wife's tongue can bring the greatness out of her husband, right? And as husbands, they seek the affirmation of a wife. They might not seek the affirmation of other women, but they seek it of their wife. And of a wife, we seek the love of our husbands. We crave the love of our husbands. Now, Jared will say to me, I'm a tough cookie. Okay, I'm South African. I'm sassy. I get things done. But guess what? I need my husband. And so sometimes I have to say to him, you know what? I really need you. I need you. I need you close to me. I need you around me. I need your affection. I need your love, because I was created with this need to be loved. And as wives, we need to tell our husbands that, especially if you're a like strong woman doing a lot of things, and they think that you know, the culture of this world is women don't need men. They're independent. That's the culture. But that's not how we were created. We don't need other men, but we need our husbands. God created us to desire our husbands. And that's not a weakness. That's a strength. Because when God creates marriage, he wants us to help one another. And I'm going to read here, the first purpose in marriage is companionship and synergy, companionship, friendship. Don't you want a friend? I remember when Jared and I just met and I went to visit him. I used to live in London. He lived in Florida. And so I went to visit him. And I remember we could just chill. We could just hang out for the whole day. And it was easy. We were friends. We weren't, there was nothing going on between us, but we were getting to know one another. But we could honestly just spend the whole day together, and it was just really easy. And that's what you want. For those that are not yet married, you want somebody that you can chill with, hang out with. It's easy. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to go do your hair, put on lipstick, like, you know, you can just be. And have so much in common, right? And that's what marriage is supposed to be like. It's companionship. So the Lord God said in Genesis 2 verse 18, it is not good for man to be alone. But I will make the woman to be an authority corresponding to him. Another version says, I will create a helper to complement him. So she's not going to be exactly like him, but she's going to be his helper. Guess who else in the Bible is called a helper? Holy Spirit is called a helper. Now, Holy Spirit is God, just so you guys know. He's not weak. But he's sensitive and he's helpful. And when we don't know what to do, we say, Holy Spirit, please help me, right? And that's what a husband should be able to say to a wife is, hey, will you help me? Will you give me some perspective here? Do you know that as wives, we give men perspectives? Because sometimes they just don't see the wood from the trees, right? You have to spell it out for them. Okay, that's not a good way to do that. I would do it like that. Right? So we are there to help them, not criticize them, help them. And they need a lot of help. So we are a helper to them. And so that's not got to do with equality or inequality. That's got to do with function. You see, the world wants to make it about we're equal, we're not equal. No, our functions are different. I don't want to be a man. Okay? I know who I am. So our functions are different, and that's not a bad thing. God has called the husband to lead because he's going to be accountable for the family. When God comes back, he's going to say, what did you do with your family, husband? And he's going to have to answer for the family. So it's by function, he is the head of the home because he's going to be accountable for what happens in that house. And then as a wife, we are to help our husbands. And I want us to read that scripture in Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 33, where it says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. That's the function. As Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. In some things? In everything. And this is so important. Like, when we understand that as wives, we don't break rank. We don't think, oh, well, I'm just going to do this. No, we go to our husbands and we say, hey, I'd really like to do this. What do you think? And we get the input and they have the final authority, right? That's how it is. And when you have a caring husband, he wants you to succeed. He wants to give you the desires of his heart because he loves you. So he wants to give you what you desire. But sometimes he'll be like, you know what? I think it's not the right time. Or, yeah, I think it's a great thing, you know. So he wants the best for your family. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church. Now think about this, husbands, the responsibility. God is saying, I want you to wash your wife with the word, and you're going to present your wife to me on judgment day. Imagine. Lord, this is what I did with my wife. This is what she looks like. This is how I washed her with your word. This is how I built her up in the word. This is how I cared for her. And I'm going to present her to you. Wow. That's a big responsibility for a husband. What did Christ do? He suffered on the cross. He was beaten. He was brutalized for the wife. I mean, for the church, right? Jesus was totally massacred. He was totally abused and beaten so that he could present the wife spotless, the wife, which is now the church, right? So as husbands, is that a big responsibility? And do you think that when husbands treat their wives like that, that the wives will submit? They should. They should. As wives, we should know, I honor my husband because he has a huge responsibility. He has to wash me with the word, right? In the same way as Christ loved the church and offered her, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. So when a husband hurts his wife, he's hurting himself because we are one. After all, no one has ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it. Guys, do you guys feed yourself and care for yourselves? Right? So you should feed and care and look after your wife, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. No clinging to the mom, husbands. No going telling your mom what's going on, right? Mommy, my wife's being mean to me. Right? None of that. No clinging to the family. But cling to your wife. Cling to your wife. Because now you guys are going to be doing this together. You have now become one. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. And so we see that God's saying, stop clinging to your family. Don't involve your family in your matters. And I know in the first few years, that always has to be sorted out. We had to sort that out in our marriage. I have an amazing mother-in-law, but sometimes she would go to my husband and I'd be like, Marilyn, you can come and speak to me and we can sort it out. But don't go to the Jewish son and tell on me what I've done wrong. I'm like, I'll take responsibility for my actions. I'll be sorry. I'll repent. But we can't involve my husband. That's not cool, because now he comes back and then I'm in trouble, right? So I said, like, let's just not do it that way, because I care for you. I want you to do well. This is my mom-in-law. I want to make sure you're looked after, and I'll never ever do anything to harm you. But we can't be divided, right? So I had to set a few things straight. I had to have a few boundaries in place. We talked about boundaries last week. Boundaries are so important. And boundaries aren't to show who's boss or be like that. Boundaries are so that we can all walk in love. That's what boundaries are, is to so that we can protect the love and protect good relationships with our in-laws, and, you know, healthy boundaries. So the first one is so that we can have synergy and friendship. And whatever you have to do to stay in that place of friendship, you have to do. Because remember, when you're married, you're together all the time and you get annoyed with one another, right? You wake up and you're like, why is he going to the toilet right now? He's going to wake Liam. Like, seriously, can you be softly? We become familiar and we get annoyed with one another, right? So we have to do whatever we can to protect the friendship. And sometimes that means that we have to take care of ourselves. I know, like, after women's conference, I was so tired. I was so exhausted and so emotional, like just totally depleted. I have to make sure that I take care of myself. Self-care is my responsibility, wives. Okay? I can't be mentally unstable because my body is tired. I have to make sure that I'm looking after myself so that I can be the best helpmate for my husband. That means that I have to go to bed early if I have to. It means that I have to withdraw from the crowds if I have to. It means that I have to go and pray and say, Lord, will you help me? I'm weak. I don't have any energy. I'm feeling like a failure right now. Have you ever felt like that? Where you're just like, I feel like I'm not doing well. And so my self-care is not my husband's responsibility. It's my responsibility. If I am not feeling good about myself, I have to get with the Lord and be filled with His Holy Spirit. I have to go to the spa and just go take a day off, all right? I have to care for myself so that I can be a very good helpmate to my husband. And the same with husbands. If my husband doesn't sleep well and he hasn't slept well for long, he gets a bit short, right? So I have to say to him, babe, I think you need to sleep. You need to come to bed a bit earlier. He doesn't normally need a lot of sleep, but sometimes I can see it in him, and he has to take care of himself so that he's a good husband to me, right? So self-care is important so that we can maintain that friendship and we don't become familiar with one another and short with one another and rude and obnoxious to one another, right? So we have to take care of our families. This week, little Liam, he got kicked at school and he had blood coming up. They called 911 and it was very stressful, and we just had a stressful week already. And so what we said yesterday was like, listen, let's just all take some time out and go to the beach. We haven't been to the beach for a long time. We haven't taken family time for a long time. And that doesn't always look so pretty. Oh, we're so happy. We're going to the beach and everybody's smiling. I mean, even going to get time to relax is a struggle because, you know, you've got to remember to pack everything. Like, it's hard work to take care of yourself as a family. It doesn't feel like harmonious. It's not like you're all this happy family all the time. But even we have to struggle. The Bible says, strive to enter into my rest. So you even have to fight to get to that rest. Does that make sense? So we eventually get to the beach and it's a struggle. We've got to get them down and you've got to take everything down. But after like an hour and a half on the beach, it's like, okay, we're kind of starting to feel it right now. But the first hour, it's like you're still feeling annoyed with everybody. You're still running after things. You're still having to carry things. So it's even a struggle to keep in harmony. But we have to be willing to fight for the friendship and the synergy. Can you see how important it is to know that you're going to have to fight for harmony? You're going to have to fight for intimacy. You're going to have to fight for friendship. It's not always going to be easy. Like when you're dating, it's pretty easy because you're in that house, he's in that house. You know, it's all separated. You don't have stresses. The house is in a mess and you don't have little kids running around. But we have to value one another so much that we fight for that. And what I realized in our marriage is when we have a common purpose, and that is to serve God and to honor His word and see what His word says, how we should, He should honor me as the wife and wash me with the word, and how I should honor Him by respecting Him. When we see the word like that and we start practicing it, even when we don't always feel like it or when we've messed up, we kind of just shift. Okay, that was a bad day. Today's going to be a good day, right? Sometimes we have bad days, okay? That's why I wrote the book that I wrote. We were having bad months. And I was realizing, oh my gosh, this is, I don't want to have bad years and then a bad marriage and then a bad divorce, right? So best I get some help. And from God and Holy Spirit, and I went to His word and I started praying and I started shifting. Who knows, we have to shift. We always have to adjust. We always have to adjust. We're not where we want to be, right? We have never arrived. And we've been married for 13 years now, but we still haven't arrived. We still have bad days. We still have fights. But we're very open and honest about how we're feeling. We don't like leave it to, oh, well, I hope he knows how I feel. He should know me better now. No, I make it very clear to him how I feel. Because he's not going to have to figure it out. I'm going to tell him exactly how I feel. He's got time for letting him figure it out. After 13 years, he's going to know. And I'm still going to tell him. Right? I'm not going to do the sulky. Well, no, I don't have time for that. I mean, really, no. And I, you know, so we have to just be honest and tell one another and be gracious to one another, because when I'm weak, I need Jared to be strong. Because there are times when I'm totally weak and then he kind of lets it go, like, let it go. I'm just going to let that go, right? But when he's weak, then I have to be strong. We have to have grace. The second purpose, so the first purpose we said was friendship. Friendship. Don't lose the friendship. The second purpose of marriage is to raise a godly generation. Now, you might think, well, we're not going to have kids. But really, a godly generation is raising other people up to love Jesus. And that our marriage is an example to other people of what the church is supposed to be like in relationship to Jesus. That is hectic. Like, we have to model to the world how Jesus loves them, and they must be able to see how Jared treats me. Oh, that's how Jesus loves the church. So our marriage should reflect the relationship that Jesus has with the church. So when you speak to your wife, think, oh, does Jesus speak to the church like that? And when you speak to your husband, you have to think, does the church speak to Jesus like that? Because we have to model that relationship. So the second purpose is to raise a godly generation. And when we want to bring other people to Jesus, our example has to be such that they would want to be part of the kingdom, right? And so we have to be in a place that we can model that. And as I said, it takes self-care. It takes being in the word. It means that we are purposeful. When Jared and I are walking together and we plan our lives, we know that we're not just living for this world. We're living for the next world, and that's eternity. So we don't make decisions based on only this world. We have created a life for ourselves here, a beautiful life. and we have vision for this life. We have vision how we become wealthy. That's part of life, right? We're going to create wealth for our children because the Bible says that a righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children. So we are creating that life. But more than that, we are creating a life that is going to count for eternity. That means that our house has to be in order. The atmosphere in our house has to be in order. The atmosphere in our church has to be in order. And then we want to bring people to Jesus, share the gospel with Jesus.